the power that is in the name of Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, help us. Help us to understand what it means to walk in the anointing and the power and to use the authority of the name that is above all names that Father God has given to His Son, Jesus, that He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And at that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of You, Father, to the glory of You, to acknowledge You, to honor You, and say thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus. There is so much power in His name. He taught us how to use His name. We can see in the book of Acts how to use His name, and that the power is in His name. The authority that we have comes from truly believing in our hearts. We may not believe it in our minds all the time, but we believe in our hearts. When we speak the name of Jesus, that every chain is broken. Whatever situation we're in, whatever needs that power needs to change or correct or heal or deliver, we believe that when we use and speak forth His name, the name of Jesus, that it will accomplish that which we intend, that which the Holy Spirit intends to use it for through us. And we thank You for that. Help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I just wanted to give this message as a reminder of how powerful the name of the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus, really is, and to encourage us to remember to apply that power that is in His name to any and every area of our life, any area that we need victory in our lives and in the lives of those that He puts in our path or in our sphere of influence. They need us to use the power of the name of Jesus to save them, deliver them, heal them. There's two ways that we can use the name of Jesus to help ourselves. There's probably many more ways, but there's two that we're going to focus on, two primary ones that we see in Scripture that we can use to help ourselves and the people in our sphere of influence. Everything that happens in our lives, through praying to the Father in the name of Jesus or by us speaking the name of Jesus in a certain situation, into or over any given situation that arises in our life, we need to intervene. We need Him to intervene in for us. Actually, we should always, I believe, use these two weapons together. We should always pray to the Father first in Jesus' name, and then use His name for whatever we're trying to use it for, to accomplish in our life or in the life of people around us. Always pray to the Father in Jesus' name, and then speak His name over your situation. Amen? Jesus, I'll just go through this real quick. Jesus teaches us about the importance of praying to the Father in His name. If you look at John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus repeats over and over and over the importance of praying to the Father for whatever we need in His name. Why? We don't just use His name like it's some magic word that we throw around or something, but we use the name of Jesus because that's the only name that has power and authority with the Father. It's the only name that He answers to when we pray. But I know there's at least seven times in those three chapters, John 14, 15, and 16, at least seven times where He tells us, pray to the Father in My name and He will do it. He puts it as plain and simple as it can be. John 15, verse 16, Jesus says this, "You did not choose Me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. So Jesus himself teaches us the importance of using his name in prayer with the Father. John 16:23, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Remember, Jesus taught them to pray to him first, but in these chapters, after Jesus tells them that he's going to go to heaven and he'll be at the right hand of the Father, that we're not asking him for anything anymore, but we're to ask the Father in his name. Why? Because before Jesus came, we didn't have access to the Father. Before we accepted Jesus, we didn't have full access. I believe God still hears people's prayers when they pray to him, even if they're unsaved. But there's a big difference between the unsaved and us who are now saved and are in the kingdom of God. We are his children now. We are his family now. We can come directly into his presence, and we are fully connected to them. I tell this story to people when I'm out witnessing to them to try to get them to understand not only about salvation, but what God wants to do in their life. I always tell, especially the younger generation, that God's like a big wife. God's like has a Wi-Fi system. If you don't know Jesus, you may get one or two bars, and he may be able to download something to you and give you a little bit, or he can hear you. But when you connect through Jesus, you connect completely to the Wi-Fi, you will get full connection. You'll have full access to the Father now because you're connected to him through the main Wi-Fi system, Jesus. You have all access, the gateway, as they use in computer terms. Yeah, Jesus. So that's what Jesus was saying to us. Now you're connected to the Father through me. You can come directly to him. You can talk to him. He'll respond to you, and he'll download things to you that you could never have received from him before, because now you're connected to me, connected to him through me. Again, John 16:23, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. And then John 16:24, until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Amen. So that's the first thing we see. That's so a very important weapon for us to use, a very important instrument for us to have in our relationship, is to understand that the power in Jesus' name, when we come to the Father and pray in Jesus' name for whatever we're praying for, as it says in John, as long as it's according to his will, he will give it to us. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. We have to really believe that in our hearts and start using that. Amen? Then one of the songs that we sing talks about the power of proclaiming his great name. That's the name of the song. I believe it was written by Natalie Grant. His great name. It describes what can be accomplished when we speak the name of Jesus over our lives and over the lives of those that God puts in our path. Here's how the lyrics go. You're very familiar with it. We sing it quite often here. What happens when we speak the name of Jesus? Lost are saved and find their way. At the sound of his great name, all condemned feel no shame. At the sound of his great name, every fear has no place. How? At the sound, at the proclamation of the name of Jesus, his great name. Here's a good one. The enemy has to flee at the name, sound of his great name. Amen? All the weak, are you ever feeling weak? You can find your strength at the sound of his great name. Hungry souls can receive grace at the sound of his great name. The fatherless find their rest at the sound of his great name. Sick are healed and the dead are raised. How? When we speak and proclaim his great name. Whose name are we talking about? Jesus. no other name except for Jesus. And then it goes on to say, because Jesus is worthy of the Lamb that was slain for us, he's the Son of God and man, he is high and lifted up, and all the world will praise his great name. Amen? So we'll just take some pieces of this song. First and foremost, the lost are saved and find their way at the sound of the great name of Jesus. Matthew 1:21. How are they saved? And she shall bring forth a son, and this is the angel talking to Mary, telling him, look, Mary doesn't get a chance to name her son whatever she wants. Father God tells the angel, you go down there and tell her this is the name that you are to give him, because his name represents everything that he is. You are to call him Jesus, which simply means Jehovah is Savior. Jehovah saves. That's who Jesus is. He's Jehovah, and he is Savior, and he is the only one who saves. Jesus means the Lord saves. Jesus came to earth to save us because we can't save ourselves from sin and its consequences. No matter how good we are, we can't eliminate the sinful nature present in all of us. Only Jesus can do that. Jesus didn't come to help people save themselves. He came to be their Savior from the power and penalty of sin. And guess what? Eventually, he's going to deliver us from the total presence of sin. It won't even be around anymore. Hallelujah. That's the power that's in his name. Luke 24:47 tells us that repentance and remission of sins should be preached, how? In his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Acts 10:43. To him, this is Peter speaking at Cornelius' house, to him, talking about Jesus, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission or forgiveness of sins. And then we all know John 1:12. But as many as received them, to them he gave to become the children of God. How? To those who believe in his name. There is power in the name of Jesus. Amen? First John 2:12. John again tells us, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Hallelujah. And then 1 John 5:13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Because you believe in the name of the Son of God, you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. John's telling us, look, we got to continue to believe all the power that's in the name of the Son of God. And we got to start using his name. Not only for us, but especially for those. We need to use it for us, but for those that don't know him. Remember the scripture verse that was on our bulletin, I believe, last week? Romans 10:14. Here is a modern version called the Easy Read Version. But before other people can pray to the Lord for help, they must believe in him. And before they can believe in the Lord, they must hear about him. And for anyone to hear about the Lord, someone must tell them. Amen. We must speak out the name of Jesus and the gospel if we want them to believe and be saved. The sick are healed and demons flee when we speak and use the power of his great name. Jesus told us in Mark 16:17, these signs will follow those who believe. How are they going to do it? In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Listen, we've got to get back to the simplicity of using his name. there are so many teachings out there, and we've made it so complicated that we think we have to have these formulas and all these things that we have to come up with in order to accomplish these things. I think that's maybe where we're missing it. Amen? That's not the way they did it in the Bible. That's not the way Jesus told us that we would do it. What did he say? Use my name. Use the power and authority that's in my name. That's all you need. That's all you need. Amen? And we'll see some examples, some powerful examples. Luke 10:17-20, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us. How? In your name. But let me just give a little rebuke that Jesus gave them here. When we do these things and we see these things happen, it's real easy to become puffed up and proud and think we're the ones that just got it all. Amen? Or even that it's happening through us because we're so spiritual. Right? But what did Jesus tell the disciples? Listen to what he told them. This is just to kind of keep them in check here. Keep their spiritual pride in check. He said to them, listen, guys, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority. Jesus is saying, look, don't think it's anything about you. Don't get all proud and puffed up about it because it's not you. I'm giving you the authority. It's by my authority that you're doing these things. I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Isn't that awesome? Jesus is just keeping them in check there. Hey, do we all want to do that? We all want to be part of that? Absolutely. All of us have always, and some of us have had a chance to be part of that and do things like that. But it's real easy for a person or even a church to get a little puffed up when all those things start happening. And we need to remember, it's not us. It's from Jesus. And we will rejoice that our names are written in the book of life. Acts 16. Verse 18, sick are healed, demons flee at the sound of his name. Acts 16, verse 18, remember this was Paul when the girl with the spirit of divination is following them all over and saying, oh, these are servants of the Most High God. And Paul knew she had a spirit. It wasn't a spirit of the Lord saying it. It was a demon spirit speaking through her. So what does Paul do? Look at what he says. He doesn't say anything, you know, he doesn't go into this big incantation or formula or all these different things. Acts 16, verse 18. This she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. That's all he said. What was the result? And he came out that very hour. So there we see the demons flee. The sick are healed at the sound of his great name. No greater example than Peter and John in Acts chapter 3, verses 4 through 9. We know that this is the lame man laying at the gate of the temple. Peter and John are walking by. And fixing his eyes on him with John, after the blind man got lame man got their attention, fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That's all he did, was use the power and authority in the name of Jesus. That's the only thing he said. I'm just saying this because these are the examples. We need to follow this example. This is what Jesus told them to do. They did it and it worked. What a concept, right? Pastor Harvey used to always say that. Whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, you do it the way he told you to do it, and it's guaranteed to work. every time. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Love this story. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And then, remember, they just wanted to take John and Peter and lift them up and exalt them and make them super saints. And what is it? Peter eventually tells them, and down in verse 16, and I believe this is exactly why Peter tells them this, is because he learned when Jesus rebuked them in Luke chapter 10 there and said, look, don't you guys get puffed up. You better know that it's in my name and my authority that you're doing these things. Listen to what Peter tells them after they want to take Peter and John and make them the head of the church and make them, you know, the super church, the mega church in Jerusalem there or whatever. You know, they just want to exalt these guys. And Peter says, look what Peter says. Actually, all right, yeah, that's right. Verse 16, it was the power of his name that gave strength to this lame man. What you see and know was done by faith in his name. Did you catch that? It was faith in Jesus that made him well. As you can all see. I love that. And let's go to Acts chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. This is interesting that everybody in those days knew that the power that people had came, and the authority that they had came from whatever king they were under, whoever they were serving. Rather it was in the temple, rather it was in the Roman guard, rather, you know, you were underneath a Roman emperor. Everybody knew that whatever you did with power and authority came from what? Listen to what they ask them. Verse 7, they made the apostles stand before them and they asked them, how did you do this? What power do you have, or whose name did you use? Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, answered them, leaders of the people and elders, if we're being questioned today about the good deed done to the lame man and how he was healed, then you should all know, and all the people of Israel should know, that this man stands before you completely well. How? Through the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There is power. That's the power that's in the name of Jesus. Whom you crucified and whom God raised from death. We must get back to speaking out the name of Jesus and the gospel if we want them to believe, be saved, healed, and delivered from the kingdom of darkness, to bring them into the kingdom of his dear son. I truly believe when we get back to applying these two weapons or methods that Jesus taught us about and we see in the book of Acts to every area of our lives, that is praying to the Father in the name of Jesus and proclaiming the name of Jesus to the lost and broken people in our lives and over situations in our own lives, I believe that there's power in the name of Jesus to break every yoke of bondage, save every sinner, heal every sickness, drive out every demon, and break every chain. And that song goes on to say, and that's what we want to be, that there is an army rising up. There is an army rising up that knows how to use the name of Jesus to break every chain. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him the name which is above every name. God knew when he told that angel to go down there and tell Mary, this is the name that you give him. He knew then that he had given him the name which was above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Those in heaven, those in earth, and even those under the earth. Whatever that means. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and worship the name of Jesus. And I love Psalm 86, verse 11. The psalmist says, Lord, teach me your ways. And I just pray that. Lord, teach us your ways. Teach us how to use your name again. And we will live and obey what you say. We will live and obey your truths. And then he goes on to say, and help me make worship in your name the most important thing in my life. Isn't that awesome? So that's our prayer, Lord. That's our prayer with the psalmist. So we just ask now, Lord, as we worship you, that we get the opportunities to use the name of Jesus, and that we would believe in our hearts and confess it with our mouth, the power that's in the name of Jesus, and that we would never shrink back from using your name to see people saved, healed, delivered, and that we would learn to pray, to come to the Father in your name, trusting and believing that he will keep his promise, and that everything that we ask for in your name to do your will, he's going to give it to us. And we pray that to the Father in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.